Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yo, you seen your boy Matt Thomas? 2 threes against the Bulls?
Nah, I was at my friend's wedding. Love watching people fall in love.
Even after your divorce?
Yo, come on, man. I'm the one that makes those jokes.
All right, sorry, my bad.
Pascal might be the best player on the team, but Kyle's still the most valuable.
He was a culture builder here.
The offense was reshaped in 2017 by Nick Nurse as the assistant.
We're going to take a segment that we did last week and make it into a whole thing.
Okay.
The Asian parent expectation check. So early in the season, 4 games in, want to run through some of the players and, you know, have you grade them and, you know, kind of talk about how they're doing so far. First player, Kyle. You know, Kyle's been scoring at a really high rate so far this season. Missed, you know, most of training camp, all of that stuff. We were worried about how he was going to look coming into the season. What have you seen from Kyle that's been encouraging for you?
I'm giving Kyle an A. Not an A+, because there are still things he can do a little bit better. But I'm giving him an A. I mean, realistically, he's averaging 22 points per game. His assists are back up to about 7 per game. And the scoring is really huge. I mean, one thing that really stands out is the way he's attacking the basket, right? Like, last season, he didn't have a single game where he averaged more than 10 free throws. And already this season, twice, he's done it twice already with double-digit free throws. So I think Kyle, physically, even by his own admission, he's not 100%, but his play is already about as good as I can possibly expect from Kyle at this age. So I'm really happy with Kyle.
And I think, you know, obviously we talk so much about Pascal being the number one option.
Yep.
All that stuff. Pascal might be the best player on the team, but Kyle's still the most valuable, and I don't think it's even close. You agree with that? I feel like when he's off the floor,
yeah,
it's pretty tough for the team.
I can kind of see it, but I feel like Pascal's has been pretty valuable this year.
You know, I feel like through the first 4 games, you know, just what he has shown on the offensive end, just, you know, we saw all these summer videos of him pulling these different moves.
Yeah.
And we're wondering when that's going to translate into the real games, right? I.e. Stanley Johnson.
All right.
But Pascal seems like, honestly, I'm ready to kind of raise the ceiling on what kind of player he can be. What are you grading him as Asian parent?
You know what? I'm going to give him, even though he's averaging 27 points per
this
game.
This guy's going to ask him to go to Kumon tomorrow.
And 4 assists.
It's tough.
I'm giving him an A-, only in the sense that there's still things for him to improve. Like, realistically, if he can cut down on the turnovers a little bit, it feels like right now he's not really handling double teams as well as you would like him to. And I think he could improve in these areas. I think he can really cut down on the fouls per game. I mean, he, you know, even admitted himself, he can't be committing 5 fouls a game, basically, and jeopardizing his playing time. And if he cuts down those things, then yeah, he's at an A+, because offensively, in terms of raw production, it's been incredible. He's helping out on the rebounding too. That's big. And honestly, I think he's met every single expectation. But having said that, it's still A-, because he can still improve. That's what being an Asian parent's about, is about wearing the minus.
No, you got to keep raising the bar, right?
Always, always.
Like, you come home with an 88.
Yeah, it's not
enough.
That's
basically a disappointment.
That's just a lucky number, yeah. But it's not enough.
OG Anunoby playing like Scottie Pippen on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah.
OG was the guy who came on media day and, you know, in his own dry way said, you know, we're going to repeat as champions. And now he's going out there and playing like a champion. What's your grade for him so far? And what have you seen from the defensive end?
I think in the case of OG, I'm giving it an A+. And only because...
Super, super rare.
It's relative to expectations, right? This is everything you ever wanted to see out of OG in terms of he's hitting the three at a consistent rate. He's over 40% for the season so far. He's making good moves in terms of driving to the basket, making good reads, playing off Pascal. Whenever Pascal gets doubled, it feels like OG's always cutting down the lane for a two-handed dunk. And obviously the defense has been incredible, like you mentioned. I'm not saying he's Scottie Pippen level just yet, man. Yeah, maybe you can just chill about that. But
Mr. 99.8 and all that.
Yeah, yeah. But in the last 2 games, 6 steals, 6 blocks. When do you even see that?
No, it's...
You know what I mean? He's been incredible. He's been the team's best defender, and he fits the starting lineup perfectly. And so on that front, I got to say, OG Anunoby, A+. you're getting a new Xbox for Christmas.
So Dwayne Casey making his return to Toronto again this week. I feel like in light of the Raptors winning a championship, we should kind of put into context what Dwayne's years here and what it meant to the franchise. So, you know, felt like we should add an extra member to this group.
A third Asian?
Our favorite honorary Asian, Blake Murphy from The Athletic. What up, Blake?
What's going on? Thanks for having me on, guys.
Cool.
Great digs you got here. I didn't bring a fruit basket, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Yeah, Red Pocket would have done too, but you know, you're still learning to be an Asian, so it's fine.
It's okay.
Was there, did the producers not have a big enough couch for us, or what's going on?
Wow.
No, being too demanding of a talent right now?
No, yeah. I want to be close to Blake.
We also had to frame the shot so both of my and Will's heads can get in it.
Yeah.
Which is a challenge.
Wow.
Sure.
So here to talk about one of my favorite topics. I don't know if it's one of yours. Dwayne Casey.
Mm.
So
it's not one of your favorite topics?
Why not?
Why are you here then?
So, you know, the Pistons and the Raptors are playing this week. And, you know, Dwayne, obviously everyone knows, had a very successful run here. That was also marred by some playoff disappointments, and he was let go. Nick was hired. Kawhi came here. Raptors won the championship. So before we even get into like any of the specific things that Dwayne has said about the Raptors or about Nick in the past year, I'll ask you first, Blake, you know, in the context of this kind of 6-7 year run that this Raptors have been on, how much credit do you think what Dwayne built here, how much credit do you think he deserves for the championship and the banner that the Raptors raised?
I mean, I think he deserves a fair amount of credit for, you know, laying the foundation, right? He was a culture builder here. When he came in, they were openly tanking. They changed management regimes. They had to build from the ground floor up. And he was a huge part of that. He was a huge part of getting the buy-in from Kyle Lowry, helping DeMar DeRozan develop, and getting the pieces to fit around those guys so that once they did hit the ceiling, for that group, you know, they were in a position to strike on a Kawhi thing, on a coaching change to where it made a meaningful difference. You know, he had nothing to do with the 2018-19 team, but that foundation and that culture was there in part because of him.
I think it's fair. I mean, really the only thing you can knock Dwayne for his tenure in Toronto is how the playoffs went, because it felt like no matter how far they went, every single playoff series was more difficult than it felt like it needed to be. Like, I look back at the 7-game series against Indiana. I mean, it basically took a miracle by Norm Powell to get past that.
And Frank Vogel.
Thank you for not playing your starters and Paul George. And then same year, the Heat series, that was one of the ugliest playoff series I've seen, actually, in modern times. And then you even go forward in terms of, like, you know, the Cavaliers. Obviously, they were a better team than the Raptors. I don't think there was a real expectation to beat them. But to get swept essentially 3 straight times, I mean, I know one time they took 2 games, but even LeBron said, you know, I've been in adverse situations. This is not one of them. It just always felt like in the playoffs, the Raptors would really fall down 1 or 2 notches. And it really felt like, you know, in a couple of those series, the Raptors could have made better coaching decisions to sort of at least offset the difference between them and what their sort of expectation was.
Start P.J. Tucker
a little bit earlier. Who knows?
Maybe not a whole Lorenzo Brown fourth quarter. I don't know.
Tyler Hansbrough.
Surprise starter Tyler Hansbrough. John Salmons versus Joe Johnson.
Yeah. I don't want to hear that name.
Do you think the criticisms about him and the Raptors' playoff performances and him taking a lot of the blame, do you think that's fair? Do you think they're overblown?
I mean, I think you're the head coach, right? It ends with you. You have to take some of the blame, just like you'd get the credit when things went well. He wasn't alone. You know, Kyle Lowry at times shot poorly, usually still drove positive performance for the team.
For sure.
DeMar DeRozan, historically one of the biggest drop-offs regular season to playoffs of any player, you know, in, you use the term modern times. We'll say modern times. I wasn't watching basketball in pre-modern times, but.
Yeah, he was born in like 2000.
Yeah.
He didn't even watch Vince Carter.
Yeah. No, don't expose me, please. I love Vince and what he did in Toronto. That I was definitely in Canada for.
But yeah, it's a shared blame, just like it's a shared credit, right?
I see a lot of the same plays that we ran for the last 4 or 5 years being run. So not a lot of changes from that standpoint.
We probably wouldn't be talking about this still if, you know, weren't for some of the comments that Dwayne has continued to make whenever he's had a chance to talk about it. So I just wanted to pull up some of these comments that he's brought up. So most recently, he was talking to Michael Lee at The Athletic. And, you know, part of the quote that Dwayne told Michael Lee was that, you know, about the Raptors, you know, they were running the same offense, same defense, same philosophy, same things we built there for 7 years, so it enthused me. Will, when you read that comment, what was your reaction?
You know, it was funny because the rest of the interview, I thought Dwayne was pretty gracious and tried to take the high road. But I feel like this is sort of a pattern with Dwayne where he will say like 95% positive and nice things and then just like sneak in a little dig. Like, you know what? That actually was the same offense, same defense. If I had these players, I would have won the title too. Essentially, that was the connotation. And that's where I would think, like, you know what? One of the biggest criticisms I had of Dwayne Casey was that in the playoffs, and just generally speaking, he was so much more in terms of, I want to value stability and I want to value continuity, and he wasn't necessarily experimental. When you had to think on the fly, because in the playoffs, you got to think on the fly, you got to make moves. And it always felt like the Raptors were slow to make those moves. And I felt like that's something where, you know, it's not like Nick Nurse was some sort of offensive genius or defensive genius. Give the ball to Kawhi, let Kawhi defend Giannis. I mean, you and I could have done that. But also at the same time, he came out with very out-of-the-box ideas, like literally a box in one in the finals. You know what I mean? And these are kind of the things I felt like, no, it wasn't the same offense. It wasn't the same defense. I mean, the offense was reshaped in 2017 by Nick Nurse as the assistant.
See, I think to me it highlights what KC's strengths and weaknesses are. Yeah. The fact that he looks at that entire season and playoff run and sees this was the base offense, this was the base defense, this bit of personnel changed, it would have been the exact same if I was there. You know, Dwayne was always a very good macro 82-game coach, but yep. You're missing a lot of nuance blocking it out. Definitely. Like that. And it's true. The offense that they turned, that they started using more of Nick Nurse's offense for a year or two earlier, true. The drop-back scheme and pick and roll to protect the centers, true, that was there when Dwayne is, but there's a lot of other stuff going on there, and that's where I feel like Casey ran into a lot of, you know, I can manage this big picture super well, and right. Then the small gaps in between is where he sometimes struggled.
Last summer was, you know, kind of a transition for the Raptors with Dwayne getting fired, DeMar getting traded, and there was, you know, a lot of hurt feelings, maybe there's still hurt feelings with those, and, you know, one of the things Masai said after they won the championship was that he had a moment with DeMar when he came back as a San Antonio Spur last season. Yeah. Like they had an embrace in the locker room, you know, and kind of maybe diffused some of those kind of bitter feelings. With Dwayne, it seems like, you know, the Raptors and Dwayne haven't kind of reached that point yet. Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll reach that point, or do you care whether they kind of, you know, eventually come to a thing?
Yeah, I don't really care. Like, I hope that, like, at a more personal level, that Dwayne's at peace with it and that his five-year, $35 million contract that might be his last coaching gig at his age, you know, I hope that he finds peace within that. I don't think there needs to be some, like, grand mid-court handshake or ceremonial thing for Dwayne Casey or anything like that at this point. I just hope more for him he comes to terms with
it. I'm just saying, if Terrence Ross can get a video tribute,
he'll probably get a video. Yeah. I think they're going to do a video for literally everyone.
Yes. Are they going to show the footage of Masai yelling at him again? Or?
Thank you, Blake, for coming on and dropping your knowledge. Everyone should check out his work at The Athletic. I use Will's login.
Thanks, man.
That's a real fact. I have been subscribing for 3 years at least.
Yeah, so.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we would love to have you back on sometime.
Thanks, man. Show proof of purchase and I'll come back on gladly.
So, we mentioned our free jersey giveaway last week.
Yes.
Keyshawn, I'm sorry we had to disqualify you. We found all the burner accounts that you tried to sign up for.
He's got enough free stuff as it is. Keyshawn, right now, man. You should see his free.
Just hit up your Nike contact. You know Aaron. So, you know, this jersey we're going to give away to an Instagram account named SuperBasm. We'll reach out to you, direct message you. Congratulations.
Here, let me hold this thing.
It's beautiful. There
you go. Wow.
Shoutouts to Nike for the connection on that.
Check out the
number. We're proud when the Raptors are in the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
What do you think of the throwback jerseys in general?
Oh, you know what? That court is like beautiful. I feel it added to the viewing experience by like 30%.
When you were 30 years old in 1995, did you love it? This is the same as you remember?
Yeah. When I went to game one with Nav.
Yeah.
When Nav brought
you and Nav just there.
Yeah. So thank you for watching Run It Back. Thank you, Blake, again for being on the show. Shout outs to my nephews. Tune in next week. We will be back.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners, so there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.